Welcome to the Christway Connect podcast, creating pathways, connecting people to Christ, to others, to purpose. Welcome to the Christway Connect podcast. This is the place where we say Jesus is the way. Everything else is a conversation. We have a full house in-house today. Yeah. Nice to have everybody with us. Lawrence and Michelle, Deli, Arnick. Why are we all in here together? Well, because we were talking about worship. So as you know, if you've been tracking with us this calendar year, we've been talking about the different disciplines, Celebration of Discipline, which we were all going to try to rename Celebration of Discipleship. Felt more appropriate. But the first four, internal disciplines, the second four, external disciplines, and now we're into the last, a third, the last four of them, corporate disciplines. And so today we're doing worship. So we have some worship folks around the table. And welcome, guys. Good to have
thank
you here
you.
Today.
Yes,
yeah. Yes, thank
gonna
you.
Going to be a fun conversation. We'll do this a couple of weeks. When you think of worship as a discipleship practice, right? Worship as a discipline. We in our freedom curriculum, we have this question, and it says, "Do you whatever it is, whatever whatever practice you might be doing, prayer, whatever it may be, do you do it out of duty or delight? Out of duty or delight?" And I always try to add in there, there is a third thing. You just do it out of discipline, which isn't the same as duty. You just recognize the value yes. of doing it. But when you think of worship as discipling, discipleship, discipline, what kind of things hit you? What kind of things come to your mind?
Well, most everybody that's in here right now is led worship. And so I think even though that term is kind of a little off, we're not really leading worship. What we're doing is being a part of setting that space and that atmosphere to create a worship moment. But since we all have walked in that space, I can say that it's probably relative. For me, anytime it starts becoming about discipleship and how we interact with other people that are in the house, outside the house, however we get those touches, I start thinking about a very long word that I learned when I was a teenager, edification. And what it really means to take worship, which hopefully all worship leaders or anyone that is involved with worship has their own private time to worship God and to experience that, then it's more comfortable when you step into a space with other people that you're just there to create those moments and provide a space for them to have that intimacy with God. That word is the first word that comes to my mind, is edification. Yeah. And what it means to...
For the individual.
For the individual, yeah.
And you also being the individual.
Yeah, of course, because it has to begin with me. And people have them, but who wants a worship leader who is not in it out of delight, as you said, yeah. mm-hmm. where they're not delighting in that relationship with God? And I think a great deal, instead of all the talking and, you know, the pumping people and all that, I think a great deal of what a great worship leader of that space brings to the table is when they're able to be pure and naked before everybody, not in the way you might be thinking, but pure and naked spiritually and in their worship, so that it creates a space to encourage others that it's safe to be there.
An imitation
yeah.
space.
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Michelle? What's on your mind?
Well, the first thing that came to me was, well, whenever I think of worship, I think of that scripture, Psalm 27:4, you know, the one thing that I seek, the one thing I desire to yeah. be in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing upon him and inquiring. And when I think of that as a worship leader, and even more so as a, you know, like a spiritual parent, a spiritual mother, and with regards to discipleship, I think of welcoming in sons and daughters into the throne room to gaze on their father, to interact with him, and to teach them how to have, because worship is so much more, I mean, yeah, it's the songs and it's his presence, but it's lifestyle. It's right. teaching them how to have an intimate relationship with God, you know, through Holy Spirit and seeing the Father through Jesus, and then relating that to daily life, as well as, you know, when we come together corporately, we lift up our voices together as one and gaze on his beauty and tell him how amazing he is, and then in return pouring out on us and being able to teach others and raise them up in that, spiritual sons and daughters, and then becoming spiritual mothers and fathers. Like, that's my heartbeat right there. So
yeah,
that's what I think
of. I think of the practice of the presence of God,
yeah,
which was a book, right? But the idea of stepping in somewhere and modeling, but really partnering.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a good word.
Just simply, just like evangelism for me, I don't usually grab a tract or something, or I don't usually go somewhere with the intent of I'm going to evangelize today.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the folks that have come to know Christ in some way from a touch of my life has been exactly that, just through the intersection of a touch of my life. And I'd like to think worship can be the same way, mm-hmm. right? We're simply worshipers that happen to be standing up there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Right? Right. We may have an ability, may have honed an ability to be able to play or sing, or maybe it's just a gift. Maybe you're six and you're playing the organ on the platform. I don't know.
Right? I don't know anything about that.
But whatever it is, right? And you're just a worshiper that happens to be in front of folks.
Right.
That morning. Yeah. What's hitting you?
Yeah, I've actually said that during a worship service. I said, I'm just happen to have a microphone in front of me and I'm holding a guitar. Like, we're all here to do the same thing. But right. I think there are, you know, obviously skills you can learn to help kind of bring people to that place. But when I think about worship and discipleship, the first thing that came to mind was, well, there's actually two things. The first one is kind of what she touched on, was this principle of beholding and becoming. And it really is time spent in adoration and reflection and worship, that intended time where we're really setting ourselves before the Lord and allowing him to touch our hearts. And what happens, he shows us who he is, we start to see who we are, and in that time spent is where we're transformed. Like,
right.
The inward parts are transformed, yeah, to be more like him. So we call that the beholding becoming principle of, if you behold him, whatever you look at is what you'll become like, mm-hmm, over time. If you stare at the wrong things, you'll become the wrong things. And if you,
sure,
stare at the right things, you'll become the right things. So that's the first part. And then the second part concerning in relation to others and discipleship, there's something that we learned from another teacher at the House of Prayer in Kansas City. It's called the three gets. And it's real simple, a simple way to think about it. So get in front of God, that's number one. So you, personally, get in front of God. The second part is, get others in front of God. And then the third part is, get out of the way. So it's really the presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is really the disciple maker. Like, we're just there to help guide people to that space.
That's so important what you just said. Because I'm being a preacher and then a worship leader, it seems like those are the only two areas that I can find consistently in life where you're employing a gift and it's so difficult for that to work out properly. That you're making sure that when you get before the people, it's not just a continuation of a private conversation between you and God, that it's, yeah, the best part, the most intimate part of your connection to God being displayed. And I just wonder, my grandfather was a carpenter, and I never seen him glorify the hammer and the nails, the tools he's bringing to the table. Mm-hmm. I never seen him just say, hey, grandson, just stop and look at this drywall. The finished product and what it was doing for the house is all he was focused on. And I think so many times we do bring skill to the table, but the focus is off, because those things are just accessories. Being, yes, a good guitar player and a great singer and an okay singer and a great singer. I wish you guys could see who I'm pointing to.
Pointed to himself several times.
No, because if I were to say guitar about me, I'd have said a horrible guitar player. But being all those things are just accessories. And I don't know if that's off the subject, but I think sometimes the focus becomes excellence. And that's not the focus at all. That just is a tool to that third thing that you said, to get out of the way.
Yeah.
I practice so that it's not a hindrance.
Right.
But not practice so I'm putting on a polished show, if that makes any sense.
Now that is the, it would be so easy for the four of us to walk down a road of make this the Worship Leader podcast, right?
Because yes.
We all do that. We all walk that space. I'm thinking about, Lawrence, your comments about beholding, connecting, and I'm reading into maybe what you were saying there about prayer throughout the week. Here's what I've observed being a pastor for 30 years. When people don't have prayer time, God time, in the Word, whatever that needs to be for them, devotions, they get to pick it, right? Whatever that is that they that helps them feel connected on a Monday through Saturday, when they show up on Sunday, it's a warm-up, like it's a ramp-up, like they start from zero much of the time. And it takes first song, you're beating yourself up for the first song, right? And then the second song, you're feeling something, but you know, you're in your head. And little by little, about the fifth song, which the fifth song may happen after someone even preaches. I mean, it's just down the road in the gathering. You can't start hot. You can't start engaged. And frankly, I would encourage people to get over that, right? Get past that space.
Absolutely.
But there is something also to the idea, not just, I read the Bible every day, so I feel good about myself, so now I can worship. I don't mean that either, right? But the idea of being in relationship when it is simply the continuity of a relationship that we now happen to be together.
Right.
So when we're singing in the car on Tuesday afternoon, and that happens every day, and there's worship in our life every day, then Sunday just happens to be, hey, we get to do this together.
Right.
It's a lot of fun. And it is fun to be able to play music and be up there and sing and then see folks. Talk about that space, the Monday through Saturday stuff, because Sunday is not the cake. We say that a lot around here.
Yeah,
it's the icing on the cake.
Great.
Yep. The cake of the relationship is the worship that happens. So we don't have a guitar in our hands. There's certainly no microphone in our hands. Now we may have a guitar because we own one and it's at our house. Okay. But there's no mic. What's happening for us Monday to Saturday?
Right.
Just sidebar, as you're thinking about that, it's like the only time I'm in the Word of God, the only time I engage the Word of God is Saturday night after 6 p.m. because I have a job to fulfill on Sunday. And so where is my Bible? And that's you know, that's not cool. We all know that's a train wreck. So what's happening for us throughout the week? The fact that we can step up and lead worship any size crowd, almost any size congregation, almost any kind of congregation. I really think the four of us could step into any space right now. Like, hey, instead of the podcast, in 15 minutes, can you come in here and do... Okay, technically, can we do it? I think so. Mm-hmm. What's the worship that we bring and how do we get to that space? Because not everybody listening to this clearly is a worship leader.
Right.
Now, we might be able to define that they are, right? And that may be another side conversation, right? That within the congregation they are. But what's the stuff that's happening for you during the week?
I think it starts with the recognition of the importance and first dibs of God in your life. And
and we can all hit this too, do you differentiate between praise and worship?
Yeah, to a degree.
So what's worship mean?
For me, worship
because the discipline isn't praise. The book didn't say it, so we can't do that.
Right.
so like, what's worship?
Let's start with this.
Let's parse this out.
Yeah. So praise and worship. I hate the terminology. I hate when people say, well, we have praise and worship band. Right. We want you to do praise and worship. I've come to not like that because I think that the two work hand in hand. Mm-hmm. I think where it, the line changes for me is praise. I was praised this week by my wife. I was praised by my children. They can't worship me. I think worship is the intimate piece. I think that it's exclusive. Whereas praise has to do more with the recognition of what a person feels about you. And I think sometimes we think worship is that. And I don't want to be too deep, so just to put it in layman's terms, praise is all about what comes from me. But I believe worship is about the heart of God. And I think as if you can differentiate between the two, you see that sometimes praise is necessary to get you to a worshipful state where you're truly in recognition of God. But I don't think, I love that parallel that you drew about the person that's come to church and has taken the five songs to get to that point. The Monday through Saturday piece is, I have to be in conversation, not just with God in prayer, but with the greater sense of my relationship with the kingdom even. So a simple way to say that, we're sitting here right now and prioritizing having a conversation mm-hmm. about worship. And the question is where is the priority of God throughout the week? Because there's so many distractions. And so I hate to say it this way, but the Sundays I feel most connected in worship and where it's not a drive. It's not when I've read, and I've been guilty, the Saturday night, right before, all right, it's been a very unspiritual week, let's get it together before tomorrow. But it's when on Monday, I've engaged my brothers, different people in the church, I've been missional, I've served. Those things, to me, are what keep you in a place where you can get to that heart of God. That's the way I see it.
Heart of God.
Yeah. Yeah. Heart of God versus my heart for God. That's how I feel the difference is between praise and worship.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What strikes you guys? Michelle? Where are you?
Excuse me. Several things were flooding in my mind as you were talking, and especially a lot of what I learned even at ministry school, you know, the Monday through Saturday, you know, whether you're a worship leader or not, a follower of Jesus, you know, you are designed to be a worshiper.
Right.
You were designed to have intimate time with him, you know. Like in Revelation, it talks about returning to your first love. And, I mean, think about spouses when you're married. Could you imagine not talking to your husband or wife for 6 days and then only having one conversation? You know, you think
and
of it that way.
Listen to you as you say things in harmony.
I've actually done it before. I don't want to talk about it.
It can be difficult to establish an intimate relationship with someone.
Yeah.
And so when you are taking that space and that time every day, you're cultivating that deep well and allowing the Lord to fill it and nourish it. And then whether you're going to lead worship or you're just going to sit down and have coffee with someone, you have something to pour out. You have something to give because you've been filled. And so there's this filling and pouring and filling and pouring and it really is about having that relationship, that ongoing conversation, which is why, you know, earlier saying that worship is truly a lifestyle. And when it comes to, you know, praise and worship, to me, it's just you're setting your conversations, you're setting your prayer to music. And there's so many worship songs, and some of them are testimony, some of them are the character of God, some of them are praising God. Some of them are help me God. But you're singing your prayers, you're singing that relationship and connecting in a deeper way. And when you're doing it individually and then you come into a space where you're bringing everything that God's poured into you, And now you're able to express it together with your family. And you can encourage one another.
There it is. Cooperation.
Yeah.
That's the edification.
Yeah.
Intimacy.
That's good.
Yeah. You ask somebody if they've been intimate, typically they think of sex. But intimacy, I define it as into me see. So emotionally, socially, intellectually,
right.
spiritually, right? Into me see. And I'm thinking, I think for me, worship, and you alluded to this in a marriage, worship to me is about the way I feel about Emma or Melinda or Jo. So I love lots of people mm-hmm. and have an affection for lots of people and have an affection for their kids and care about them and would certainly give to them and would let them be a priority in my life. No problem. No problem. But when I think about them or I think about Emma, not the same.
Yeah, totally different kind.
My heart hurts when I think about Emma. I just think about Emma, my chest hurts, right?
Young men that are out there, just I hope you're listening to this right now. He loves you. He's a good pastor, but not when it comes to young ladies.
I think that's it. When you, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so longs my soul after you, O God, right?
Yeah.
That's not a transactional, you know, I need a prayer answered, right? That is this thing where I am just driven deep within my heart, this longing, and you just feel that, right? It just comes out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's hitting you, man?
A lot. There's just so much to it, because I think just going back to this idea of worship and... like when I think about, as we started this conversation, my thoughts didn't go to corporate. The first place I went was intimacy. Like, what does worship look like for me on a private level? And really I learned that by being with Hell. I feel like when I went to ministry school, there was a lot of opportunity. So I went to Christ for the Nations. It's a big worship school. It's like, you know, lots and lots of people go there for music. And at the time, I was thinking I was going to go there and start a band. I wasn't even interested in leading worship, not even remotely. And the Lord allowed me to not go any further with my music and the way that I wanted to do it, and really started to interact with me both in my room and in the corporate setting. And what I'd say, intimacy... And it didn't always look the same. I think that intimacy can look like a painful revelation of where you're really at.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And going, he's ringing me out right now.
Like the emptiness of those.
And ringing out pride and ringing out the things that need... And that happened corporately and it happened privately.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't see the... What I started to see in myself was the delineation for me. Because before it was like when you go to church, you kind of got to put the show on a little bit and keep it together. And like, and then what I realized in that season, I lost that line completely and was able to go into a corporate setting of, I don't care who's with me. I don't care if people are looking at me funny, if I'm crying or if, you know, whatever's happening. It was just about, it's about touching the Lord and just realizing that we're in this together. It's not just a me and Jesus thing.
Yeah.
It's like, this is what he desires for us as a family,
right,
to encounter him. You know, like he's seated at the table. He's the Father. We're going to come to the table of his presence. And that's what I so appreciated about Christ for the Nations, because one of the highest values that they have is worship. And so we would have class time was scheduled in the morning so that we could work in the afternoon. But in the morning, the first thing we would do is chapel time, where we'd have just 45 minutes of worship. And sometimes those chapel times, and we're talking about, you know, 800 people worshiping together. So like an insane, like everybody's running after Jesus hard in that place. So it's like you have this environment of faith and of just blessing the Lord. And then all of a sudden the Lord will start moving, and spontaneously people would start getting healed and start getting touched by the Lord. And they would act, if there were things happening to that degree and it was noticeable to the leadership, they would cancel class.
Yeah.
Say, look, this is, you're going to remember this, and this is going to train you more than what we can teach you in a class.
Right.
And I never forgot that. I don't remember a lot of what I learned in the classes. This was almost 20 years ago.
You remember those encounters.
And I'll never forget. The Lord takes me back into those encounters regularly and reminds me, this is what I spoke to you in this moment. And this is where you were and where I brought you from. And it's what it is he's building a history through that intimacy.
Yes.
And we draw upon that history when we get to places where, man, it's been kind of dry lately, and I don't know if I'm really connecting or, and then just, it's like reminding ourselves of like, he's been with me this long, and he's been with me before then, but I've just started realizing, you know, that connection 20 years ago or whatever, but that's my take on it.
That's beautiful.
Well, the idea of lose that line, you said that, you just lost that line.
Yeah,
it just became more of a natural, like it always felt so unnatural to be in a church, just to be frank with you. Like I would never felt comfortable going to church, like before this time. And when what changed it was when everything else in my life kind of just came apart, like the reasons why I was pursuing music, you know, my band had broken up, like all these things had come apart. And I was just desperate enough to just say, you know what? I just surrender everything. And all I have is yours. And like, and what happened in...
Which
like,
I think is worship without a single note being played.
It
there
is. That's beautiful.
Part of here I am.
Isn't yes. that what we're trying to get to? Yeah.
And then from that place, that's how I can lead worship in any setting. Because it has absolutely nothing to do with me. Because
right.
if it were my choice, I would be recording albums somewhere. And being and probably not very successful at it either. So that's why I'm here. Like, yeah.
Well, I'd love for people to be able to recognize that what we're shooting for is to lose the line, lose that delineation between this is a worship moment, this is not a worship moment, this is a place we worship, this is not a place we worship. Lose that line.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Where it becomes. Yes. I never forget I'm married. I just don't.
Yep.
I just don't have any days where I'm like, oh, got to remember that tomorrow. I forgot that. Because of the relationship and the intensity of it. And the value of it. Right? And so, frankly, when people, maybe they have a hiccup. Maybe they have a bad weekend. Right? Whatever their recurrence relapse is. And what's very interesting is... What we say in addiction world is the opposite of addiction is not sobriety, it's connection. The opposite of addiction is not sobriety, it's connection. And I'll go so far as to say, Arnick, if you're going with family this weekend, big party, what's going to happen? You're like, man, I'm going to drink. You know that if you go there, you're going to drink. I'm going to drink. I said, how about if I go with you? Immediately, people have said, and I've tried it many, many times in many different classrooms. No way. I said, so if I go with you, you're not going to relapse. Nope, no way. Do you think I'm going to tackle you as you run for the keg? No, right? They know that if I'm there, and then, so let me lift that template and lay it over on church world. Apparently we forget that the Spirit is with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? And apparently,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Apparently we forget that my wife's not with me, my kids aren't with me, you all aren't with me when I'm making a series of bad choices, but the Holy Spirit is with me. And I forget that, apparently, right? But what is the power when I don't?
Mm-hmm.
And I recognize that we walk together, whatever the physiology is in that, I think it's Corinthians that says, he that is joined to the Lord is one, right. One spirit, you know? Whatever the apples to apples is, where the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of life, the pneuma, that God puts in us, right? That links together, and we just and we live in that continually, and have access to that relationship always.
Mm-hmm.
And my worship in the car or walking up is a surrendered place,
right.
A place where I'm emptied and filled. Right, that was what you were saying: an emptying, a filling, which happens for Him, happens for us. the value of it. I like to think of it as the value of the spillover, mm-hmm. right in the room. So as we conclude, Lawrence, I'd love for you to somehow pray over each of us, which we need it as real and intimate as anyone else. But those listening, we trust the timing of it, right? When they come to the end of themselves, mm-hmm. when they have their own plans, and God says, actually, here's what would be fulfilling for you. And your statement, I won't forget that, man, lose the line. I just lost the line between those things. And that statement right there feels like then worship just began to implement into your entire life.
Yeah.
Almost like there was a dam of sorts.
Yeah.
And that just crumbled. It just broke. And there the water went all over, yes. right?
There's a lyric somewhere.
Yeah, there's those
of course,
compartments
of... Of course, we had several songs being written during this.
Yeah, like,
yeah. Sure, yeah.
A bunch of musicians sitting around, I'm like, okay, remember that line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a shift there from having an orphan spirit to stepping into sonship and living in that place that you were talking about, yeah. where you realize that you're a son or a daughter, that you carry within you the Holy of Holies. Like what you're talking about, forgetting Holy Spirit is with you. We carry His presence 24/7. It's not something we need to step in and out of, but removing that orphan-mindedness and stepping into sonship.
We're more aware of our cell phone with us 24/7.
Than Holy Spirit.
Right. Yeah. And the deal with that is, that's what I liken all the time. If Melinda needs me, that phone rings. And I guarantee right now, if this thing goes off, I'm going to step aside and answer it. Because she knows I'm in here. So that must be something.
There you go.
And I will answer that, right? And so just be, why? Because of the relationship. We pray over us as we close out today?
Yes.
Appreciate that, man.
Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Spirit, Lord, for the worth and the beauty and the majesty of who you are, and that somehow in all of your grandeur, Lord, you dwell within us and you walk with us and you put your arms around us and you speak to us and you have intimacy with us and you draw us close to your heart, that we can feel your heart and understand your ways, God. And I just thank you that you are such a good Father, Lord, that you are willing to open yourself in that way to us, God. You're not just a distant figure off in the outer space somewhere, judging us and keeping us at a distance, Lord, but you went through extreme measures, God, even to get close to us and to tear that veil that held us between you, your presence and us, God. And we're so grateful for you, Jesus, for making a way, God, through your broken body and through your sacrifice, of that we may come boldly to the throne of heaven, and that we may stand with you, that we may walk with you, God, that it's not about a temple expression anymore, where we got to wait a number of years or even only one person is allowed into your presence, but that we all have access to you and that you've broken into our hearts, God, that our hearts are your throne now and you've set your dwelling within people. And it's a mystery and it's awesome and it's holy. And Lord, I just pray that you would reveal that to us, God. Reveal how valuable it is that you're inside of us and that you're with us every moment and every second, God, that every moment of our lives is sacred. There's no secular sacred divide anymore, but that everything we touch, everything that we, every relationship that we have, everything that we put our hands to, God, that you're touching those things, that you're moving through those things, that worship isn't just about singing a song, Lord, that it's about a devoted life and a life of surrender. God, we just thank you. Lord, I pray for anyone who is just feeling like they're hanging on to things, hanging on to relationships, hanging on to dreams that aren't necessarily from you, God. Everything that would keep us from surrender, Lord, that you would just remove every obstacle that hinders the love that you want to pour out into our lives, and the fellowship and the joy and the peace that comes from that place, God. We thank you that you offer us such a great gift in yourself, God, that you are enough. You're more than enough. You're worthy of our worship in our lives. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you both and Bernick for joining us today. Been a blessing to have you in our studio here.
Thank you.
Everyone listening, hope it was a blessing to you as well. We're going to continue that blessing. So Michelle and Lawrence are going to hang around with us, and we will do a second episode on worship and see if we can plumb the depths and the breadths of all of this. So again, blessings to you all. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Until next time, take care.